Welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on KDKentry 94, KDKentry94.com. It is the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, and that means it's our annual conversation with the best umpire in Major League Baseball. That is Todd Tischner of Southwest Kansas. He's been with us the last couple of years to talk about umpiring, and he gets a short break from Major League Baseball during the All-Star break. Todd, how you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. It's always good to be on. It seems like the years are going quick every time I get to talk to you guys. So I guess that's a little closer to my pension 20 years from now.
That's definitely a way of looking at it. Todd Tischner is our guest. And Todd, I want to start with a couple of numbers. One, you're 40. You were 39 the last time I talked to you, I believe. So now you are officially 40, which is still younger than I am. And you wear the number 13. The umpires do have numbers, believe it or not. So I want you to give me a little bit of background as to, did you ever think you'd be a Major League Baseball umpire at the age of 40? And two, why number 13?
Yeah, it's a good question on both of them. Well, for the age, I tell you what, there are many years where, no, I didn't think I'd fulfill my dream and my goals. But, you know, I went to umpire school in 99. I put 14 years in the minor leagues, you know, where you don't make any money. You're gone for a full 7 months, 6.5 months at a time. And I had gotten married a year before I went to umpire school, so that was tough having kids and family at home. And so there's many times I wanted to quit and didn't think I was going to make it. And now that I look back on it, this is my eighth year in the big leagues, and, you know, it's a dream come true. I got to remind myself of that sometimes because, you know, a lot of people don't see the travel and the strenuous physical, mental stuff that goes on. But, you know, to be in the big leagues is a dream come true. And it's fantastic.
Number 13. Why number 13?
Number 13. Well, I tell you what, it's because the family and I, it's something that I've always grown up with. Number 13 is kind of something that I've always worn when I was a little kid. And so I always wanted to be the unlucky number to make it lucky. And so then it turned into something with my family. So now my kids always try to wear number 13. Hmm. And so, you know, when my kids wear 13 and I'm wearing 13, it's kind of something that me and my boys have in common now. So, you know, I just, I kind of like living on the edge, I guess, and that's to make the unlucky 13 lucky, you know?
Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire from Southwest Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. So you went to Japan, and that's what's interesting about your job is that you get to travel to every Major League Baseball ballpark at some point during your career, and you travel a lot, as you mentioned, and you have a short break during the All-Star break now, but you got to go to Tokyo and be a part of the World Baseball Classic?
It was an unbelievable experience, I tell you. The way they do it for umpires is they have to take so many Major League umpires to all the venues that Major League players are going to be at. So I requested to go to any site. There was a couple different sites. I think one in Mexico, one in Puerto Rico, and I think maybe South Korea. I'm not for sure, wherever. And I ended up getting a Tokyo spot where I was there for 2 weeks, two different rounds of unbelievable experience. My wife got to go. That's part of our contract is that they pay for the spouse. So my spouse got to go with me. So Kelly spent 7 days. I couldn't talk her into staying all 14 days, but with three kids at home, she didn't really want to be outside of the country for that long.
Sure.
So, you know, but to be there and to do, you know, to learn their culture was an unbelievable experience. I wish everybody could do it.
What doors have opened for you since you've become a Major League Baseball umpire? And what I mean by that is we hear all about in real life, no matter what job you have, about connections, about networking. What would you say are a few things that being a Major League Baseball umpire has maybe opened doors for you in different avenues or just different perspectives?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, first off, I think of like getting to meet people, you know, meeting certain people like the President of the United States, getting to tour the Air Force One, getting to do a lot of things like that where an opportunity of a regular kid from Holcomb, Kansas wouldn't be able to get to do. I tell you what, Air Force One experience is one of the most neatest things I've ever done, being able to get on Air Force One. Obviously, the President wasn't on it at the time, but it was a pretty neat experience. Networking part, you know what? I think opening avenues for maybe my family, even, you know, if my kids want to maybe try to get into baseball or get into umpiring or get into tickets, or get into being a something for a ball club, a manager, general manager, you know, I think just that starts everything is networking, right? I mean, yeah. The way you meet people, and if you're, I always said, you know, you don't burn your bridges on the way up, because you never know when you're going to need those people on the way down. And so I really try not to burn my bridges.
Well put. We've talked with you in the past, the last couple of years, about how you get graded, how you get critiqued. And believe it or not, people are listening right now, you do not get graded or critiqued by the managers. I mean, yes, you do. During a game, they might scream, they might yell at you, they may not agree with the call. But you've explained this once before, but I'll let you explain again, because some people may have missed it last year. How do you get graded, and how do they determine Major League Baseball who's going to still be an MLB umpire and who maybe would be demoted and who may be promoted?
Yeah. You know, that's I guess accountability is the key word there. You know, I hear that a lot, that in life alone you got to be held accountable, but we are held accountable to a higher standard, a higher level of professional people than anyone I know. A Major League umpire is basically graded on every play. I mean, and when I say that, I mean by every pitch that you called that night, every play that you had at third base, every play you had at second base, every play you had at first base. And it's got to be a correct, a miss. You know, you can get red marks. You could get, also, you could get positive things. You know, you can get green lines, which is a positive. They don't hand out green lines like they hand out red lines, I'll tell you that. But, you know, I'm held accountable for everything I do. And sometimes, you know, that is tough. That's tough mentally. That's tough physically. You know, if I miss a play at second base, do I let that eat at me? And then all of a sudden now I've missed another one. It's kind of like a ball player. You know, if you let that at bat, that at bat work you, then you're going to go 0-for-4 on the day. And that's the same thing with umpiring. You know, you gotta let it go and move on and try to just know that you're the best of the best and get it right. As far as them firing you, that's why the managers don't get to evaluate us, because, you know, there's sometimes I don't get along with a manager. Well, he could just call up and say, oh, I don't like this guy. I don't want him on my games. Well, that to me is part of integrity. And so Major League Baseball hires me to keep the integrity of the game. And sometimes that's going to put the manager and I at odds, you know.
Absolutely. Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire from Holcomb, Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. When you, it's funny because we hear about baseball having a short memory, and you just mentioned it applies to umpires as well. But I would think that there's times where people, fans like me and anybody else watching baseball, when there's a heated argument between a manager or a player and an umpire, and I'm sure you've had a few of those over your career, how easy or how hard is it to let bygones be bygones, to not let that carry over to the next time that you see that team or player? I would think it would be an interesting challenge for maybe both sides, or is it a lot easier than people think?
You know what? I was just going to tell you, it's a lot easier than what people think, but probably early on in my career, and I say that meaning like 14 years ago in the minor leagues, maybe it was tougher. But, you know, I've thrown out probably hundreds of people now. So throughout the minor leagues, so you've had situation after situation. I'd say right now in the big leagues, it's probably one of the it's baseball. It's part of the game. If something happens, I go out of my way the next day to say hello to that person, because I want them to know that it's a new day. And I would say most of the players or managers do the same thing. It's a new day. You know, we got 160 of these things, and if we didn't get along yesterday, it's got to change tomorrow, because we got to work together for 6 months. So, you know, we got to let bygones be bygones and move forward. And most of the time, you know, with replay these days, you know you got it right or wrong. So they know that you got it right and you still had to eject them, or you know you got it wrong and had to eject them. So that might be part of the conversation as well. You know, one of us saying, hey, you know, my bad, you know.
Would you consider yourself to have a short fuse, a medium fuse, or a long fuse? We've heard that before with officials at any sport. Oh, man, you got to watch out, because he's got a quick hook. He's going to throw you out. And there's other guys that you can go a little longer with.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that label is definitely through the media, because I think it's from what the player or manager says.
Yeah.
You know, there are key things that a manager or player says that are automatic, And then there are not key things. So a player manager could come at you more aggressively but not say the right things. So that looks like you've got the you don't have a quick hook. But then yet somebody could come at you so softly and yet say the right words, and then you eject them. And so that's where, you know, knowing what was said, where the media doesn't obviously get to know that, where it's in my reports and obviously the office gets it. And that's the other thing that we get, you know, graded on. So I think you can say that I have a quick hook, but I can show you situations where I don't. It's exactly, you know, what they say and they don't say.
What has been the most heated or intense argument that you have had as an umpire with a player or a coach? Is there one or two that stand out?
I tell you what, it really doesn't. I'd say when you talk about ejections, the first time you Google me, it comes up as a day that I was going up and down in the minor leagues, and I had 4 ejections in one game. I ejected both catchers and both managers, Terry Francona and Ron Gardenhire, and then Mike Redman was the catcher then. He was a manager and a coach now, and he's a super, super guy. And then who was the other catcher? Jason Varitek. And you know what? I've spoken to all 4 of those guys afterwards, and we are very professional. Terry Francona is a great person. Ron Gardenhire is super, super. And I see Mike Redman a lot now, and I saw him in the airport the other day, and we sat and chatted for 5 minutes about our families, and so that's the part that nobody sees. But if you look it up, I'd say that's probably what comes up first on Google and me, is that you don't see 4 ejections in one game, especially you don't see both catchers and both managers being ejected in one inning. So
what were you doing, channeling your inner Devin Treister? Because he's known as Mr. Ejection. Were you trying to go for a record there or what?
I tell you what, I've seen him empty a gym before. Exactly what I just said. You know, if you go back and look at the video, Mike Redman, who was a play at the plate, which he was very, that was just the heat of the moment stuff. But he throws his equipment. And so there's a thing in umpiring that you may eject on if you throw your equipment in disgust of an umpire's call. So that was automatic in my mind. So, boom, you know, that comes out. Then Ron Gardenhire comes out to protect him. I said what he did. Then we talked about the play, and he said, well, you did miss the play. He didn't say them in that exact words. You might add a few curse words
sure.
in there. And so once he says you did miss it, well, then you're done. So then the next inning was about balls and strikes. Jason, who was pitching? I don't even remember who was pitching, but Beckett. Beckett was pitching, and he didn't like me call a ball. And so he yells, and so I yell at him. And Varitek turns around to protect his pitcher, just exactly what he had to do. And he'd argue balls and strikes, so he has to go. So then Terry Francona comes out and trying to protect Varitek before he got ejected, and then he tells me that I missed the pitch as well. Well, that you can't argue balls and strikes. So then he's ejected. So, you know, all 4 of those were warranted ejections in my mind. Now, does the media run with it that I ejected 4 people and that I'm not a full-time guy and that I have to be fired and be demoted and go back down to AAA? And so, you know, that's the tough part. And then, you know, do I get death threats online, and do I get death threats on my home recording? And, that's the stuff that nobody sees and you have to deal with.
Yeah. Just for the record, Treister's thrown out 2 8-man all-star football game players in 2 different games, 1 in 1 year, 1 in another, and they're all-star games, for crying out loud. Have you ever ejected anybody from an all-star game, Todd?
No, I haven't. No, yeah. Nope. And he'll be the one to tell you that he didn't miss the call. He's never missed one.
Well, I agree with you on that one.
Okay.
Colin Butterscotch or Mystery Ejection. That's the 2 nicknames I have for him, all right?
That's right.
You mentioned instant replay earlier, and I know we talked about this last year, but instant replay, do you think it's getting a little bit smoother with each and every year, from last year when we talked to you to this year? I know you're in favor of it because it's all about getting the call right. Now they're giving you, 30 seconds for the managers to decide whether they want to challenge it. There has been some talk about somehow announcing to the crowd what you're exactly reviewing, which I think would be very helpful. I'm all in favor of that, because there are times where I'll be watching the TV broadcast and the TV announcers don't know what exactly is being challenged and why it's taken so long. And if you're there as a fan and you don't have the TV or radio broadcast, you really are left guessing as to what's going on.
Yeah, there are ways that can be cleaned up still. You know, just like you said, though, year by year, it has. I feel like it has gotten better. It's gotten quicker. It's gotten where more things are getting called right. We're getting more TV angles. They're knowing where to put the cameras. So for that aspect, year by year, it has gotten better. Can we probably get it better? Which is way above my pay grade. I just do what they tell me. But yes, we can. I think it can be better. Announcing is probably one thing that you're right is probably going to come up next. The hard part is that it's not like football where you have a holding 10 yards and it's the same thing that you say and you get used to it. With baseball, being able to flip that switch and talk, it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
And to be able to explain something in a short amount of time in a good manner, and that's what we're going to have to come up with, is how do we do that? Which that means they have to train us to be able to do that. You know, we don't just have a holding 10 yards, and we're going to have to explain things. And so that's tough. So we got to figure out how to do that, you know, before they do it. That's what baseball's good at doing, is figuring out stuff before they do it, you know. And yes, then they have to tweak it. Can they announce it? Yeah. You know what? Maybe can they announce it from the press box?
Yeah.
Can the press box do a better job? Maybe. Those are different options of that. And like I said, I've told you this way before about that I am a proponent of it because of the fact that we've always just wanted to get it right. You know, we want to get the call right. And to do that, there are some things that you still can't tell on replay, and that shows how good we do our job.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Todd Tischner, Major League Baseball umpire from Holcomb, Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I want to ask you about this because we touched upon a little bit the last couple of years, but there's a little bit more. I got more of a specific example, and you were actually there for when it happened recently. It was a Royals-Dodgers game. Kerwin Danley on your crew took a fastball off a foul ball off the bat, I think, of Bellinger, and it nailed him, a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. Who knows how fast it was going? It hit him in the mask and the forehead, and he had to eventually leave the game the next inning. And then I went back, and you look at the injury history for Kerwin Danley, and he's had significant blows to the head from baseballs or bats. And so that leads me to the question, and that is, are you as umpires protected enough, or do you think there's ways to make things safer so that things that happen to Kerwin Danley, and I'm sure you've been hit by a foul tip or a foul ball before as well, because there's so much talk about concussions and about players and protecting the players. The NFL talk about concussions. We hear about it in baseball as well, and every sport for that matter, soccer, hockey. But there isn't a lot mentioned about the safety of the officials themselves, and certainly in the National Football League, they're not protected amongst guys with helmets and shoulder pads and everything else. And you guys have some gear to protect yourselves, but at the same time, you're still vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the button. I wish that we could get that out there more to try to find some equipment. But I do think that they are. I think that they are trying to find equipment that will work, technology that will work. Nobody sees that part. Nobody sees, except for when things like what happened to KD, that's his nickname for us, Kerwin Danley, what happened to KD the other day, nobody sees that. You know, it's once or twice. I don't want to say once or twice a game that I get hit. And the one time that, you know, you get hit in the mask hard 3 to 4 times a year, I hate to put a number on it as well, but I have had concussions and I can tell a difference in my thinking process and the way that I work. I try to be safer back there. I think that the way that they teach right now is really good, of what you call getting in the slot, getting in the green zone. Don't flop over the catcher so a foul ball can hit you in the mask. Get inside, and that's where, you know, a lot of people might say, well, you know, he's got to get a better look. Well, we're in that spot for a reason. We're pinching in that batter and the catcher for a reason, because that's our safest spot to be, you know. And Kerwin was just very unlucky. He's been in the game 20 years, and once you get one, you're vulnerable to get him again and again. As you know, football people are saying that now, and it was tough for him. I know that he wants a better life for him after baseball. And so, you know, the more that we can protect ourselves and the things that happened, I'm glad he didn't stay in the game. I'm glad he decided to leave, you know, because if he gets hit again and again and again that game, that's just going to make things a lot worse.
How many concussions would you say you've had from being an umpire?
Multiple, multiple, handful. Over the 14, 15 years, I remember the worst shot I took in the spring training in the minor league. The catcher got mixed up, called for a curveball. The guy throws a fastball. The catcher doesn't even touch it, and it goes straight into the mask. And it just, I remember the feeling. It locks your jaw. You don't feel your jaw for a good 20 seconds. You know, it just locks you up. and you know it hurts your head, and you got to stay in coolness, and loud noises hurt you. And if you've ever had a concussion, you know what I'm talking about. And that it takes, you know, like the 7-day concussion protocol, it takes at least 7 days to get away from you and get out of your head, you know.
How concerned are you about those concussions?
Oh, you know what? I love baseball. I love doing what I do. So it's on the back of my mind, but it's not the forefront. Mm-hmm. I do my best to stay protected. I'm wearing the best equipment I can. And like I said, I get in the slot and really say a second or third inning close pitch that I might miss because I'm in the spot that I have to be safe. I have to tell myself it was because I was trying to be safe. Mm-hmm. If I missed that pitch, you know, now come ninth inning in the World Series, 3-2 count, bases loaded, I might have to get in the run. I might just have to, you know, live dangerously and get in the right spot to get that pitch right, I guess.
You mentioned 7-day concussion protocol. Is there a protocol in place for umpires to where if you do have a concussion?
Yeah, there is. They've put us through a bunch of Major League Baseball, and I think most major sports do it now. Beforehand, when we go to our meetings, they make us do these tests, and then after you get you know, concussed, they make you do the tests as well, and you have to pass those tests with what you passed when you didn't have the concussion before you can even get back on the field. I think this 5 days will help. The days off the field will help Kerwin immensely. I've talked to him daily, and he's already feeling much better. He didn't fly after the game. The altitude and those flights really hurt your head after that. He stayed in California for the All-Star break. His family came to him, so I think he'll be ready to go on Friday, as far as I know.
During games, usually a trainer will come out for the respective team. Let's say a Royal gets hurt, and the trainer will come out, and many times they'll go through various things to find out if they think they have a concussion. And a lot of times the trainer is going to, or the coach, trainer, whatever, whoever it's going to be, it's not necessarily the player, is going to dictate, you better come out. But what about for an umpire? In the case of Kerwin Danley the other day, according to what I read, and you can't believe everything you read, but does anybody have a veto power to say, it's kind of like a boxing match? All right, you took some shots to the head. Yeah, you want to keep going, but the trainers and the referee comes in and says, no, you're done. This match is over. What about baseball and you guys as umpires? Is it your final decision to try to give it a go and keep staying in there, or can somebody override that?
Yeah, there is. I got down there when the trainers got to them. They are really good to us. Both sides came out. Usually the home team trainer is in charge of us. We have Mark Litton is our medical services director. He's an unbelievable person. He controls 76 umpires, and he worries. He worries about our health. And so he was a trainer for the Giants for, I want to say, like 25 years, the head trainer. So he knows all these trainers. So he's got their cell phone. He's on text. So once we get hit, they get a text immediately because those trainers know to text him. And then he's in charge of us, and those trainers are in charge of us. Those trainers got out to Kerwin the other day, and they did the concussion protocol. I think they asked him some words this time to remember, like some days of the week in order. And then they went through some stuff, checked his eyes. He said he was fine. They gave him some water. By the end of it, they asked him to repeat those days of the week in order that they said. He repeated them. That's why they let him stay in the game. And I've seen it where a trainer says, no, he's done. You know, you come out now. Those head trainers will cut us off too, just like a player.
Todd Tischer, Major League Baseball umpire from Holcomb, Kansas, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. So it's the All-Star break. What do you do during the All-Star break?
I work harder.
Your wife puts you to work and you got to coach baseball.
Yes. So my 11-year-old made state this weekend. So their coaches have to work until 5, and they only get to hit like an hour a night. So I said, why don't you do it? Let's go early this morning. We did a 2.5-hour practice. I got a little pitching machine. I took it to the field, and I ran their butts through a tough practice this morning. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow morning, and then hopefully they're ready for it. I'll get to watch one of my son's state baseball games on Thursday night. Mowed the lawn last night, pulled the weeds yesterday, got the sprinkler system set, got the haircuts done. The dog is getting cut tomorrow. I got to take her. What else do I got to do? You know, it's you just heard my daughter say, no, not the dog. You're listening to me right now.
Hey, maybe this might be the most favorite part of the year for your wife, because she's like, hey, this is the time he's going to have to get this done.
Yes. She, if she were here right now, she'd be shaking her head and say, no, she doesn't give me a list. But if I came home and did nothing, I tell you, she wouldn't like that either.
Yeah. How tough is it? I mean, you know, you're living your dream. You're an umpire, but how difficult is it? Because I have three kids, and I have all boys, and they're 10, 8, and 3. And I've had to travel a little bit covering some things for other schools or colleges from time to time, but not on a regular basis. And I really enjoy doing those things. But at the same time, if I miss something with my kids, I go, oh, I'm missing out on this. And I know I can't be there for everything that they do. But how hard is that for you to balance in your mind? Because you're living your dream, but at the same time, you're certainly sacrificing time with your family and missing out on games and things like that.
I'll tell you, Wade, you know, that goes back to the beginning when I said about the mental and physical toughness that you have to have and that you go through that nobody sees. And, you know, I'm missing a lot of things for my kids, and they're sacrificing for a lot for me. And hopefully the goal that I've achieved will change their lives, not only their lives, but their kids' lives. And so I think, you know, as my senior this year, I can't believe I have a senior, is getting older, he's realizing that I have sacrificed it for him, even though that I've missed a lot of his baseball. You know, he's been alive since I've been in the minor leagues, and so I've missed half his life. And it's tough. You know, some of the things that I hope I make up for. The other day when I was 4th of July, they came with me to the Colorado, to the Denver, to the Rockies games I was at for the 4th. Well, I got to have my whole family. We were the only ones sitting in the dugout for the 4th of July for the fireworks. So it's hopefully things like that. Cooper got to meet Aaron Judge a couple weeks ago, one of the most biggest teddy bears I've ever met, and just went out of his way to talk with Cooper, my 11-year-old. And so hopefully things like that are going to make up for the daddy time missed, is the way I play it. And, you know, when I'm home in the off season, I'm home more than most dads. You know, most dads work 8 to 5 every night for a year. Well, I'm home 24/7 for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really make use of that time. You know, I make use of being a dad during that time.
Do you have a plan, or do you have an idea of how long you want to umpire? As long as you're still employed by Major League Baseball, do you have an idea of how long you want to do this?
They are set up just like a good a business. You know, they're obviously a multi-million-dollar business, and we, you know, 20 years in 55, I can retire, and hopefully I do the right things in my life. You know, living in Kansas is a good possibility that I'm trying to do the right things with, you know, that's growing up, basically, you know, with doing the right things with money, because I'm not making millions. I umpire is a necessity to them. Am I making enough to hopefully change my family's lives? Yeah. And so I could retire at 55. I'll have 21 years in at 55. So do I want to say now? Yeah, heck yeah, I'll retire at 55. So give me 15 more years. But at 55, ask me that. You know,
sure.
Maybe I'll still feel like I got a couple of years left in me. Joe West is 62 right now. He's got 32 years in the big leagues. I don't think that I want 32 years in the big leagues. I want to have I want to enjoy my life after baseball.
Right.
Baseball is not going to be the biggest thing for me, but I want to do the right things now to be able to set myself up to do that. And Tegan will be 18 and graduating when I'm 55, so that's the other reason why. I don't know if I'll get out at 55, but
sure.
I sure could, I guess, is the answer to your question.
Absolutely. All right, Tom, for an off-the-wall question before we let you go, something a little bit abstract and off the wall. What is the funniest or oddest thing that a player or manager has ever said to you during a Major League Baseball game?
Well, you know, back during that, the first thing that pops up is Ron Gardenhire, and there's been plenty. I can't, you know, I think of a bunch of them just came on, but when I had those four ejections that day, when Ron Gardenhire came out and called me Toddly.
Toddry?
I'll never forget. Toddly, T-O-D-D-L-Y.
Toddly.
Toddly, what's going on, Toddly? And I was like, Ron Gardenhire just called me Toddly. So, you know, that just made me sit back and, you know, laugh for a little bit. But, I you know, I've had plenty of stories. You know, in the minor leagues, people, you know, just crazy, crazy things, you know. I couldn't even tell you, you know, what they were, you know.
Probably some that aren't clean that we can't share with our audience.
Well, that's probably why I'm, maybe avoiding most of it. But
yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I just want to say that you do a wonderful job, and I've said this for a long time, And I'm a coach of baseball now, as I told you. And, yeah, we don't agree with every single call umpire makes. And, yeah, they might miss a call. And there's times where we don't see it objectively either. But it's not an easy job to do. And I appreciate what you do. And the other thing is I really appreciate what you do when it's 104 or whatever it's going to be this week in many parts across the country, because you guys still are out there. You don't get to go and take a shower or hang out in the dugout or back in a cooler room. You guys are out there most of the time, if not all the time. And then you take the punishment behind the plate or wherever you might be. And I really appreciate everything that you do. And I think it's awesome that you're living your dream. And we always enjoy talking to you each and every year during the All-Star break, Todd.
Thank you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for the positiveness. You know, we don't get a lot of positive things said to us, and you know, and that's why I like talking to you guys. I like spreading the word that, you know what, we're okay guys. You know, we're okay. You know, just we do a job that some people don't like, you know.
And in new jobs that you might not like when you get home, but you have to do them anyway.
That's right. Gotta enjoy that.
That might not pay as well, but it's important that you do get it done, and you know that. Todd Tishner, Major League Baseball umpire for Holcomb, Kansas. Todd, enjoy the rest of your All-Star break, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.